That excites me. And, you know, Brother Greg took me out here in the trailer. They're going to play that for They Want Us tonight. And I said, It excites me. It's the name above every name. The name of Jesus. Amen. You got your Bibles tonight. Let's go to 2 Kings, and we're going to chapter number 13. And we're going to read about 5 verses. And I want you to pay particular attention to the Word tonight. Because all I can do is read this to you and try. We're going to try to analyze it and talk about it. But you got to listen close to the Word. The Word has so much power. Obviously, the Word has power. We have none. The power is in Him. And He is powerful and He is great. And the reason the name of Jesus makes people afraid is because it's powerful. You know, I have had times in my life, be at work and have a Bible laying out on the desk. And people come in my office and they look at it. You know, you'd think it was coiled up and ready to bite them. They'll walk around the room. They'll try to stay away from it. They try not to get near it because it's got power. And it convicts. But we don't have to be ashamed. We ought not be ashamed. We serve the only God. He is the only King. Amen. If you got your Bible tonight, I want to preach tonight or try to bring a message about arrows of deliverance. And I've got a couple of arrows here. I do not have a bow. Okay, I did not bring the bow. I just have 2 arrows. But when we read this scripture, you'll see exactly what we're talking about. But this is Elisha's final prophecy. The prophet Elisha. And let's look at what the Word of God says. In 2 Kings chapter number 13 and verse number 14. It says, "Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. And then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek, till thou hast consumed them. And he said, Take the arrows, and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice, or 3 times, and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him, and said, Shouldest thou have smitten 5 or 6 times? Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. Now if you go down to the 25th verse, the latter part of the verse, it says, 3 times did Joash beat him and recovered the cities of Israel. 3 times. Okay, now if we look at this, and this is Elisha's last prophecy. And he calls Joash in and he tells him to shoot. And the prophet puts his hands upon the hands of the king. Now, you think, well, what's the significance in that? If you read just a few verses there that we missed, I want you to understand that this is a man of God that had power with God. Okay, when Elisha died and they put him in his tomb, there was once when they were lowering down a dead man into the tomb, the dead man touched the bones of Elisha and he revived. This man had power with God. If I were going to shoot and I were going to fight against the enemy, I'd want his hands on my hands too. You know, there have been people in my life that God has allowed me the privilege of being around. And I was talking to some visitors this morning that was here. It was a daughter of a pastor that really was my dad's pastor years ago. Back I can remember when I was just a kid. Okay, we would go over to see Brother Gordon Kimmons. And he lived over on Sweetwater Road over here right next to the reservoir. And we would go visit him, and I can still remember as a kid, I'm talking about just a kid, going into his house, and we would sit down in his living room, and Dad would talk to him because he was shut in. He couldn't come to the house of God anymore. But we'd get to talking to him, and he'd get so stirred up about the Word of God. This man was very, very ill. He'd get up, and he'd start preaching, and he'd preach all over the living room until he wore himself slap out, and wherever he'd give out, that's where he'd sit down. I mean, he'd start over here and end up over there, and I was just a kid watching this. But I remembered it. It impacted me. And then we'd get to talking, and he'd get up and do the same thing, and he'd preach all over it again and end up back in his chair. But, you know, those people loved God, and they had a desire and a hunger for the things of God. And when we get around somebody like that in our life, if God blesses us to be around them, what I want to do, and this is what I want my kids to do, is learn everything you can from them. Now, I don't remember what he preached about, but I remember that it was real. Elisha was God's man, and it was real. Now, here's Joash, and he's coming in, and the Syrian army is coming against Israel. And he tells him to take the arrow and shoot, and he puts his hands upon Joash's hands. And then he says, take the arrows and smite upon the ground. Well, he goes and he, one, two, three times he hits upon the ground. And Elisha looks at him, and he's wroth, and he's angry because he did not understand the gravity of what was before him. Now, I want you to look at this from the historical view and the understanding. I want you to see the problem addressed. The enemy, Syria, was at hand. The enemy wanted to destroy the people of Israel. And this is something I want you to understand. If the enemy is out there, he comes not but for to destroy. There was a problem. Now here's the power acknowledged. It was the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. Now sometimes we don't understand exactly how God works. That's why I think it's very important that we have discernment and we begin to understand how the Spirit of God moves. Do you know in your Christian walk with God, it's very important that you gain discernment. And that you get enough understanding that when the Spirit of God speaks to you, you learn how to listen and you learn how to follow the will of God. You see, hindsight, they say, is 20/20. It's always easy to look back and see where God was speaking to you when you don't listen. There's been times in my life that I have had to get past my own feelings and my own emotion to be able to get to the point that I could do what it was that God wanted me to do. Your feelings and God's feelings are not always going to line up one-on-one. You got to get past yourself. Now, the arrows were a type of the power of God. The arrows were given to deliver the children of Israel. And when they were handed to the king, the responsibility was transferred to the king for him at that time to take the power of God and to use it the right way to deliver the people. But he didn't take it very seriously. He just went over and he took and he tapped on the ground three times. He had the responsibility of taking care of the people, but he did not have the understanding, nor did he have the relationship with God. And you can read the scripture around this to see and understand it. It's almost like we know that he's God, and we know that it's the right way, but if my relationship as leader is not right with him, this is something to understand. I cannot lead my home if I'm not right with God. I cannot come in here and preach and pretend. And I'll tell you something. I've heard preachers say this. I heard a preacher say it one time from the pulpit to a church of about 1,000 people. He said, I just want y'all to know I've been doing this long enough that I can pretend. He said, I can get up here and I've been doing this. And he said, you know, I can just put it on a little bit. And as I listened to him, I want you to know I was in awe. You see, I wasn't a new convert. And I wasn't there as somebody who just became a believer. I knew the Word of God. You see, I grew up around men like Gordon Kimmons that I just mentioned to you that had the power of God on them. And when I heard it, I was offended by it because it offended me for the people of God. We cannot play with the power of God. We need to come before the Lord with clean hands and a pure heart to honor Him in everything that we do. And here's the king. He's not clean before the Lord. And when because he's not clean before the Lord, the power that was given into his hands, he didn't fully understand it, and he didn't use it right. Now let's look at this. Why was the prophet wroth with King Joash? The king lacked zeal. You know what zeal is? Zeal is, it's just like what that guy had we looked at on the video a while ago. It was eating them up. You know, what we need today is we need God's power to fill us so much that when people are around us, it'll either draw them closer to the Lord or it'll make them run out. Do you know that sometimes in this church when I'm preaching, right before altar call, I see people get up and walk out. You know why they get up and walk out? And I believe God's word teaches this, is that the Spirit of God will either draw them or it will drive them. Sometimes people get close and they get to be spoken to by the Word of God and they begin to get uncomfortable and they want to get away from it. It's just like that Bible on the corner of that desk. Don't be ashamed of it. Put it out there. It'll keep certain people away from you that probably need to stay away from you. The king had no zeal. He had no passion. And this is what I want you to understand. I want you to look at what's going on in the world today. What are we talking about doing? We're going to arm Syrian rebels, thinking that that's the right thing to do. Now, I'm not going to get into that, but are we not still having trouble with Syria? If we look at this, it says here, because of King Joash, only three times. The king had no zeal. And the king's lack of passion and lack of zeal surely caused the death of some of his own people. Now, I want to tell you something as a dad. I do not ever want to even think about the possibility that my lack of seriousness, my lack of zeal, my lack of passion, my lack of obedience would ever be something that would cause my children not to want to serve God. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, what you do in moderation, your children are going to do in excess. And when I began to think about that and I thought about the responsibility that I have just as a dad, it's overwhelming. Well, here's the king and the prophets placed the arrows, the power of God in his hand, and he doesn't take it seriously. The king didn't comprehend the gravity of the situation. Why? Now, here we are in the house of the Lord, and, you know, we're so blessed. We are. I'm so thankful for every worker that's working with our children. I'm so thankful. You know, Luke doesn't like the verses, but sometimes I have to do extra things to get him involved. You know what he said at home today? He said, it's work, work, work all the time. Work, work. He said, that's all we ever do is work. We got home from church today. We fed him. He had to do homework. You know, then he wanted to get on the games. I said, have you studied your one of verses? Work, work, work. Sometimes we have to encourage them. Because when the Word of God gets in them, the Scripture says in Psalms 119, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Because there will come a time, just like Elisha knew, and this is why I think it was so serious to Elisha, is Elisha was sick. And he knew that his sickness was unto death. And he knew that there would be a time when he would not be there to encourage the king. He would not be there to protect the people. He would not be there to present to them what they needed. And Joash did not take his rightful reign and responsibility as king to stand up for the people. Elisha knew that he didn't have very much longer. See, it was a time for the king to stand strong, but he didn't. It's important. You know, I know, and I've thought about this. There's the difference between my age and my dad's age is 18 years. The difference between my age and my youngest son's age is 40 years. I will never get to spend those years with my son if Jesus does not stay, unless the Lord comes back. There's going to come a time when I'm going to be gone and my boys are still going to be relatively young men. And the importance is that now I understand my responsibility and I don't take these arrows and I just tap them. But it's like, we're going to get serious about serving God and we're going to get serious about being obedient and doing what God wants us to do. And take the arrows and beat them and beat and beat and just serve and be obedient to the point that we know we've left nothing on the table. Leave nothing, but give it all to the Lord. Now here's some questions. What are we doing with the arrows that God has given us? You know, in likeness or in similarity, God has done the same. He's given us the responsibility. He's given us this beautiful place. He's given us the responsibility to teach, the responsibility to pour ourselves into the next generation. Do we recognize the power and the responsibility that's left to us? Do we run the race with patience and endurance? Sometimes you get tired. Sometimes you get wore out. But there's no place in the Christian walk to quit. There's no place to lay it down. There's no place to say, I'm just not going to do it anymore. We were having a Sunday school meeting a while ago, and we were talking about Sunday school classes and how some of them are growing. And you know, in order for the young people to get here, the parents have to bring them. I heard a testimony of a grown man, and he said, you know, I got away from the Lord when I was a teenager. He said, I quit church when I was 14. He said, but you know, I didn't really quit church. He said, my parents quit church, and I couldn't go. Now you think about that for just a minute. Understand the importance of running the race to teach and to train the next generation. And for this also, to stand in the gap, to be an intercessor. You know, there are times that I'll go in and my kids will be laying in there, and even Matthew, he's about a half inch taller than I am now. He's so excited about that. But I'll go and I'll grab him, and I'll hug him, and I'll get even him. I can still wrestle him and hold him up close to me. And I'll kiss him on the head, or I'll kiss him on the neck, and I want him to know that I love him. Do you know that rules without relationship leads to rebellion? And even though I tell them, no, you're not going to do that, no, you're not going there, no, you can't, that's something they get to hear from me a lot. They know that Daddy loves them. And they know that I care about them. And there are times I go in at night and they'll be asleep and I'll lay my hand on their head and I'll pray for them. And I'll pray for their spouse that might be in their future. I'll pray for the job that they might have. I'll pray for the school that they go to. I pray that God would get His hand in their life. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. And let's look at some scripture that comes right up to our day and time that we're living in. This is Ephesians chapter number 5, beginning in verse number 6. And I want to get down to the 16th and the 17th verse. These are the verses that really stick to my heart. But you know, we're living in times today, just like the prayer. You got the universalist, you got the imam, and you got everything else. And you know, the truth is, in America today, amongst the liberal that are trying to take over, you can be anything you want to be, long as you're not a Christian. Why? Because there's power in the name of Jesus. And it offends them, it scares them. And what it does is, if God is real, He's real to them. And if God is real, then what He says in His book is real. And if what He says in His book is real, it's real about them. It's real about them. And that's why they don't want Him. It says, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whosoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, or cautiously, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And then the 17th verse. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And that's where King Joash missed it. He didn't have the right relationship with God. And he did not understand what the will of the Lord is. Now for you and I, do we recognize? Do we recognize that there is an enemy against us? Do you know that?
You know, every time that you stand and fight, and you know, sometimes I think about the things that I could give my children. And I'd love to. I'd love to, and I told somebody this one time, I'd love to be in financial shape just, you know, to buy them all a house. You say, oh, you ruin them, you ruin them. Well, you know, we ruin them anyway, don't we?
Yeah.
We do. I want them to be blessed. When I'm gone, I want them to be blessed. I want them to be blessed. But what's the greatest thing that I could give them? The greatest thing that I could give them is that they look back and they say, my dad was a man of God. They say, my dad was serious about that. He believed it. One time I heard a preacher, a young preacher, and his dad is a pastor of a big church out in North Augusta, South Carolina. And I heard him come to Georgia and he preached. And he was talking about how when he was a kid, their house caught on fire. And he said, you know, our house caught on fire. And he said, you know, it burnt to the ground. He said, that Sunday morning, it happened way up in the morning. He said, you know, we went to church. And he said, I was just a young boy. He said, but I was watching my dad. He said, I was watching him and I was watching how he responded and what he did. And the preacher told me this, the pastor. He said, you know, my son asked me one day if he could go to lunch with me. And he said, Dad, I just want to talk to you. I wish I could do that with my dad again. And I will. Won't be long. But he said, Dad, I just want to talk to you. He said, we were sitting at the lunch table, and he said, Dad, I just want to tell you why I'm doing what I'm doing. He said, I want to tell you why that I stand the way I stand and why that I know that I'm going to be able to preach the gospel. He said, I remember watching you when the house was on fire. And he said, Dad, I wanted to know if you were the same when the house was on fire as it was when it wasn't. And he said, Dad, you never give me any reason when I watched you not to believe that this is real. You know, my responsibility is I want to never give them a reason not to believe that the Word of God is real. I don't want to be like King Joash and not take it seriously and not move when God gives me the responsibility and the opportunity. See, are we passionate about following the Lord? Do we listen to the voice of God to guide us? Am I serious about serving Him? You see, serving the Lord is not just coming to meeting. I love to come to meeting. Y'all already know I love to preach. I love the Word of God. I love Sunday school. It's a dilemma for me, like when I come in this morning and I wanted to go hear Sunday school, but I had so much on my heart and my mind, I had to come over here. And if I'm ever not over there, brother, it's not because I don't like it. It's just sometimes it's a little overwhelming. But I love the Word of God. It's not just in church. It's your life. It's what you do away from here. It's like I heard some of them say, when I walk through the woods, I hear the voice of God. It's serving Him, a relationship with Him. Are we passionate about having victory over our enemy? Now, I'll tell you something, and I feel this way in my heart. I honestly do. When I taught Sunday school class, and I do love to teach, I wanted to give that class something that helped them make it from week to week. You know, we got a lot on us. I'm busier than I've ever been in my life. I don't understand that, okay? But folks are, families are, raising children, trying to get from here to there, doing all the things that we have to do. We need something from the Word of God that'll feed us. But I heard a pastor say this, and I believe it's true. He said, you know, when we have projects, he said, I can get people to give money. He said, we can build a building. We can get this. We can do that. He said, if you tell the truth and you love people, he said, people are going to give. He said, but the hardest thing I've ever tried to do is keep homes together. Now, you think about that for just a minute. It was in my heart when I was teaching. I said, God, I want to keep these homes together. You know, and another thing that I thought about, is I've watched people grow up in church. I've watched kids grow up in church. And I want to tell you what it's like as a journey leader to teach a journey class and watch kids for 4 years come through there. And then when they get to the age that they can do what they want, you never see them again. I don't ever want to see that in this church. I want to see them get to the point that God convicts their heart, they get saved by the grace of God, and they either get in here and work or God will call them to go work somewhere else. But they don't go out into the world. I don't want to give the enemy nothing. Nothing. We don't have to bow to him. We serve a living God. Are we growing stronger in our relationship with God? I want to. I want to. You say, well, I want to get closer to the Lord. You can. You got to listen to what God's telling you today and do it, and he'll tell you what to do tomorrow. How do we know the will of God? Do the will of God today, and he'll show you tomorrow. And that's the only thing I know to tell you, because that's what God showed me. You know, sometimes I say, Lord, send me an email. Doesn't work that way. Send me a text. How about a fax? Doesn't work that way. You know, it's kind of like going to the Christian bookstore, and I've done this before. Last time I went, I come out of there with a bag. I spent $75. And I got home, and I read about 10 pages in this one, about 15 pages in that one, and God spoke to me. And he showed me. People are always looking for new light, but they're not willing to walk in the light that they already have. You know, the truth is, I'm so busy now, this is about all I have time to read. But this is all I need. And I'm not against, please don't misunderstand me, I'm not against other things. I have learned, I've read enough books, I read the first chapter and the last. That's pretty much the way I read them nowadays. But when you read this, it's alive. From cover to cover. And if you want to get closer to the Lord, you read his book and you do what it says, you will. That's all there is to it. And here's the last point. This is something I want you to understand. I was standing in Kroger a couple of months ago when I run into a lady, or I saw her, I didn't talk to her, that I had known from years past. She had went through something in her life where she was mistreated by a preacher. And I knew that man and I knew that lady, and I probably knew more about those circumstances than most folks. And I saw God deliver her and judge him. And you know, by the way, God knows how to judge us. I'm not God's police. I don't have to be. God knows exactly where everybody's at. And if somebody's out there away and you're seeing them and you think, oh, they're getting away, let me tell you, they're not getting away with nothing. Okay? But I saw that lady and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and this is what it said. God means business. That's all that the Holy Spirit said to me. I want to tell you something. I know the voice of God. And you know, when you hear the voice of God and you know it's the voice of God, I perked up. When God said that to me, I said, yes, Lord, yes, sir. It wasn't yes, Lord, it was yes, sir, Lord. You know, sometimes my kids get a little bit disobedient. I make them say, yes, sir, Daddy. I make them say all three. And I said, yes, sir, Lord. God means business. Did he not mean business when Joash just went? And if he understood, he would have beat the ground with those arrows until they were splinters. And if we understand, we're going to do the same thing spiritually. We're going to get serious about serving God. And we're going to be obedient. And we're going to read God's word. And we're going to trust God for what he said he's going to do, because he's God. And God means business. And he'll deliver us if we trust him. Amen. Let's come and sing. We're going to sing that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Do you know that he is your friend? He is our Abba, Father. Abba is like Daddy. You know, he's my Lord and my Master, and he is my friend. But I want to tell you, I have honor and respect for him, and I have reverent fear for him. As we sing this song tonight, if God spoke to you in any way and you'd like to talk to the Lord, this is your opportunity as we pray, or as we sing. Song, he had a relationship with God. You know, and that's important. It's an individual, personal thing about you and him. Amen. And God does want to have a relationship with you. And this is what I believe God wants from you. He wants to dwell with you. You read through your Bible and you study it and understand it. God wants to dwell with you. I went and heard David Wilkerson one time preaching at a conference for the Paulding Pregnancy Center. And he said God wanted offspring. God wanted children. God wants to dwell with you. Amen. Anybody have a word or anything on your heart, anything you'd like to say tonight?